B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And a guy who I love, who does an incredible job, great baseball man, covering the Phillies for NBC Sports Philly. I know he's got the answer. Jim Salisbury, or at least steer us in the right direction. And what's up, my brother? Happy playoffs.
Happy playoffs. Happy playoff less Philadelphia.
Let's get right to it, brother. I hear the rumblings, saw the Brookover piece, and Bobby, you know, Bobby does a great job, and that Matt Klentak may remain as general manager of the Phillies, which makes no sense to me, Jimmy.
There's been no decision made, so he may remain or he may not remain. That's what I think of that.
Okay.
You know, there's been apparently no decision made, but I think you need to make one soon. My feeling on what's happening is if John Middleton was 100% behind Matt Klentak as his GM, wouldn't he have put the word out at 9 a.m. yesterday and snuffed all this out?
Yeah, that's what I would have thought, right?
Obviously, there's some indecision in the owner's mind if he has the right guy running the show. And the longer this goes on, this latest inquisition, you think his uncertainty is growing, whether he has the right guy. So the longer it goes on, I would say, makes me think that maybe a change is coming. But I'm not going to snow you and say I know a change is coming. I don't know, and I don't think anybody knows, and I think only John Middleton knows, and he's a very methodical information gatherer, methodical decision maker. I mean, we have a paradigm for that with the handling of the Gabe Kapler situation last year when he, you know, turned over every stone to make sure he was making the right decision and then made the decision 11 days after the season. So, but, you know, we await this. And like I said, if we felt like, if I felt like, I guess if Middleton felt like Klentak was 100% his guy, I think we would have known by now. But who knows? I don't know which way this thing is going to go. But if they decide to make a change, I think it's completely justified because it's hard to say things are moving in the right direction. And I'm not just talking about the things you see on the surface. It's just hard to say everything's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm so with you. I guess maybe I expected more of a rash move, like the Angels came out, they fired Billy Epler, their GM, like an hour after the last game of the season. I thought I would have the same thing. I was waiting, all right, where's the Phillies blurb that they have moved on from Klentak? I mean, how do you go into the last weekend of the season where you are fortunate, right, where the new playoff situation is, and all you need is one game, and you got Nolan Wheeler pitching, and you can't win a game against a team that already clinched.
And, you know, Anthony, just getting back to the Angels and the decisiveness of their owner, very, very similar situation to the Phillies. You know, they have a marquee talent in Trout, Phillies of Harper. Obviously, Trout's been there longer. They haven't won, but Billy Epler was on the job 5 years, zero winning seasons. Klentak on the job 5 years here, zero winning seasons. Klentak was in that front office.
Yeah.
And was passed over for the job that Epler got. So there are some connections, interesting little connections to those situations. But Middleton and Artie Moreno, the owner of the Angels, are very different guys. Middleton is just so much more methodical in his decision making. So I know he's asking. I think I know John Middleton and have looked him in the eye enough to know he's asking some piercing questions about what the hell is going on and what went wrong. And then the final week of the season really went wrong because I do believe. And you can argue whether it was a right or wrong decision, right, but I do believe if they had made the postseason, then we're not having this vigil right now. That I think Matt would be back for another year, even if they made it with a below 500 record, which is a pretty sad commentary on a lot of things. But and they could have made it by just taking care of business in the final week of the season. I mean, that's second to last Saturday night of the season over at the stadium. Velasquez win pitches really good, and they win 3-1, and they're up they're in the seventh place position in the playoff grid, and with 8 games to go. And as it turned out, they only needed to win 2 of those games over the final 8, and they only won 1 of them. And then on the last day, if it wasn't like, you know, it was this parade of uglies between the Phillies, the Brewers, and the Giants, yeah. And then it couldn't have worked out better for them because the Giants and the Brewers both lose, and the Phillies get shut out on the last day with, you know, Segura can't even run out of double play balls. Looks like they quit. It's very discouraging and very, very demoralizing that, you know, in a 16-team low bar postseason with a $207 million payroll with that lineup, and I know they were banged up. Hoskins was a big loss. Harper had a bad back. Realmuto had a bad back. But they shouldn't have even been in a position where it was a question going into the final couple weeks. I mean, you go down to Miami and you go 2-5. You were in second place then. You got knocked out by a team with 18 rookies and an $87 million payroll who sat out a week because everybody was sick. Basically, they in that final week, they didn't help themselves because they didn't play well. But, you know, the snowball had gotten so big to overcome. And by that, I mean, you know, the snowball just kept growing and growing and growing. And that was a bad bullpen because they had 21 games that they lost that they had leads in. And 8 of those losses, they had leads of 3 or more runs. So you can all go back to, you know, the plight of the final week and the position they were in was because of historically bad bullpen and that they could not outrun for the bulk of the season.
I know. I mean, we've never seen that before. It's amazing. And, when you look at what's below, and you kind of hinted that, you know, it's not just what's taking place on the field. You know, when you start to look at the shape of their organization, I mean, I don't think it's unfair to say they need to be way further along down the road after all these years and wasted picks. And, I mean, what do they really have is really disconcerting.
I agree with you. They need to be way further down the road. Now that Bohm and Spencer Howard have graduated to the major leagues, I don't know who their top prospect is. I mean, I could give you some names, but
right.
I don't know who he is. And I'll tell you, it's probably a tallest midget in the circus type of thing. You know, it's probably not real impressive. So they are, you know, languishing near the bottom. They, they haven't really drafted well, though. I do tip my hat. Bohm looks like a very good player.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years ago, 5 Octobers ago, I sat in that press conference. I was very enthused to hear Klentak say he wanted to build this team through quote-unquote waves of pitching. I was in full agreement when Andy McPhail said you spend your money on bats and you develop your pitching.
Yeah.
I totally agree because I think you need 20 pitching prospects probably to get 7 or 8 good ones to the major leagues or 5 or 6 good ones to the major leagues. And, in the final week of the season, Vince Velasquez is pitching one of the biggest games, to get you to the playoffs. And, you know, nothing against Vince. He's got a lot of talent, but he has never put it together. He's never built any reason to really believe in him. And after 5 years, he's still in your rotation because you haven't drafted, developed, or procured anybody to come take his job. It's not Vince's fault that he's being thrust into that situation after pitching himself out of the rotation 2 years in a row. It's you haven't built enough pitching depth that Vince Velasquez doesn't have to be relied on the second to, or third to the last day of the season. So, John Middleton, when he hired Andy McPhail, had, to me, a remarkable quote. He said, Andy is being hired as the president of the organization. He will oversee the entire organization, but his focus is baseball. His mandate is winning, and he will be given every resource that he needs to make that happen. And it hasn't happened after 5 years. So it's hard to have faith in this front office, and if they make a change, it'll be completely justified.
Yeah.
And I'm just waiting to hear. If they're all going to be back, I think they should just come out and say it, and we'll be on with it. And, you know, we're going to figure out what's going to happen with Realmuto and Gregorius and how you're going to get a center fielder and how you're going to fix that terrible bullpen. And if they're going to make a change, let's get on with that and figure out who's going to come in here and fix this thing, you know?
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
I'm with you. Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philly, the baseball analyst, the Phillies analyst. Incredible job. I guess you're so right. And I look at this thing and you bring up pitching and the Sixto Sanchez thing it still bothers me. Forget about his answer, which was nonsensical, about how 2 years of Realmuto is worth an ace. If everyone knew that he had this kind of stuff, like generational stuff, I love JT Realmuto. I'm not making that trade. I mean, do they not know what they have?
They knew the stuff he had. And I'm going to say I probably still would make that trade. Because of where you were, you thought you were going to win last year. You thought you were going to win this year. You thought you were going to have a chance to re-sign him. You didn't think there was going to be a pandemic. I mean, Sixto, there was a lot of people around baseball that think Sixto projects as a reliever because of his stature, because of how hard he throws. They wonder how long he's going to hold up. There was never any doubt about his amazing stuff, never any doubt about his amazing command. And there was never any doubt about his talent. Everybody recognized he was very, very good. He was coming off a bit of an arm injury. I think they thought Spencer Howard was kind of passing him. That remains to be determined. But, you know, I think sometimes you give up something to get something. And they gave up a great prospect to get a really good player at a position they really needed at a time when excitement about around the franchise was growing and they were going to sign either Manny or Bryce. And you thought maybe we're just going to, get to the postseason this year and make a deep run and have a couple really good years, make a lot of revenue. JT's going to love it here. We'll go re-sign him. And good luck to Sixto and good luck to JT. And we made a real old-fashioned good baseball trade.
Right.
Despite Sixto looking so good, I'm not going to question the trade.
Okay.
I'm not going to.
I kind of have to, only in the sense that, now, again, this is I didn't see him, right? Like, I got to, like, see him with my own two eyes, right? But if he's got stuff, and I talked to a couple of people that said, he had eye-popping stuff.
He does.
They have generated so few pitching prospects. I mean, if you go through the years, I mean, they haven't nourished that position, and that position, which you even said, the new president said that we need to grow pitching, and they had no pitching.
Hey. You make all good points, and I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying you had a chance. You had a chance
to
acquire
a
27-year-old catcher, a 28-year-old, I think he's 27 or 28 at the time, catcher, all-star catcher who did a lot of things, and he has done a lot of things.
Sure.
The world just kind of blew up. Sixto's emergence, to some, makes it more imperative that they sign Realmuto.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'll tell you what, Realmuto's an athlete. It's concerning to me to see last year with a knee injury, this year with a hip injury. I would have to take a really good look at that, and we'll see what happens. But I still think they're going to be in it and try to sign him. He's a hell of a player. But it goes back to this. To get something, you got to give up something.
Yeah.
And I thought at the time that was a baseball trade that made a lot of sense. And, we'll just see what happens with both guys. That to me, is not the biggest reason I think Matt Klentak's job is on the line.
All right, so last thing. Who do you like? Who do you like, American League? Give me your final two. I love the fact that there's four games today, eight tomorrow. I love that. I mean, the games all day, man. There's nothing like playoff baseball.
It's got a little bit of a NCAA feel to it, basketball,
Definitely.
The Dodgers are a great, great team. They're built to win. They need to win. If they don't win, it's going to be a lot of disappointment. That Tampa Bay team is impressive with that bullpen, man, and their starting rotation. I think they're a dangerous team. Those are the two number one seeds. It wouldn't surprise me to see that be in the World Series. You know, that said, we're going to see an upset in this first round with these with these three-game series, because somebody's going to dial up a couple great pitching performances and you know, shock the heck out of somebody and send somebody home quick. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, it might be Cincinnati. They might take down Atlanta. They seem to be a team on a roll.
Yeah.
They got this Trevor Bauer who walks around with this attitude that, you know, I'm going to show you. And I think he would like nothing more than to flip off MLB by raising the commissioner's trophy, right?
He's
always been very critical of MLB stuff.
He loves that.
You know, I'm going to enjoy watching the postseason. I always do. But, you know, it's just unthinkable that a big, important city like Philly and big, great sports town with like Philly that has a $207 million payroll that committed over $700 million to free agents the last three winters. They just came out of a rebuild, and they still look like they need to go into a rebuild in certain spots. It's just unthinkable and disappointing that they're not part of a really easily attainable 16-team field that they were in the driver's seat with a week to go in the season. And unfortunately, they made a right turn into a big old oak tree.
It's unbelievable. It really is. I still can't believe. I can't fathom it. I mean, in another time, it's a 64 collapse. I mean, instead, like they didn't make the playoffs. Are you kidding me, Jimmy? You're right on, brother. As always, listen. Enjoy the playoffs, and we'll be definitely talking to you soon. Okay, once the decision's made.
Okay, bud.
Thanks, brother. Jim Salisbury.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.